Amen, amen. You know, isn't the manifestations of the Spirit different? We go from the service we had last week to the service this week, where God is so different in the way that He is speaking and moving in the services. And it's so important that we tune ourselves in to the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Spirit of God. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God, how to be led by the Spirit, to know the Spirit's moving, to know the Spirit's voice, to know what He's saying, to know how to respond in the different seasons or the different timings or the different ways. And because God lives in us, because He lives in us and His home is inside of us, it's magnificent that He can be everywhere at every time, and yet at the same time He lives inside of His people. I think that's magnificent, and that He can live inside of us. And the reason why He lives inside of us is because He has given us power. He's given us the ability to live a godly life. He's given us the ability to witness and to be the salt and the light of the world. He's given us the ability to be moved sensitively by His Spirit, to be moved easily by His presence, to hear His voice clearly. And it takes a discerning, it takes a sharpening, it takes a knowledge of the Word, because He often speaks to us in the Word, and He reminds us of things. He speaks to us through different circumstances of life, and in every situation, the Lord has an answer. He's got an answer, and He has the ability to be able to personally speak and live and abide in His people. And so I love that. Today, I'm just naming this the mind of the Spirit. We're in Romans 8. We got through a few verses last week, but we're in Romans 8, so you can turn there to Romans 8. And we're going to be talking about the mind of the Spirit, the mind of the Spirit in Romans 8. And the reason why I'm focusing on the Holy Spirit, because it is the most neglected part of God, and yet it is the part that God sent to us to live in us and give us ability to be able to overcome our flesh, to be able to overcome sin, to be able to empower us and equip us to confront the devil. It gives us the ability to be able to discern truth and a lie. It's God. God making His abode in His people. He said, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people, and I'm going to come and make my dwelling in you. And it's one of the reasons why Jesus spoke so emphatically about, I have to go. I must return unto the Father, because if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit won't come. And He's going to come and live in you, giving you the ability to be able to live a life that is different than any other people on the face of the earth. Let me tell you, that's why you're different today. If you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to give you revelation of His Word and His truth, if you'll be sensitive to His voice, His warnings, His encouragement, His amplifying of His Word, giving you greater understanding of His Word, if you'll allow Him to take the lead role, not the flesh leading, but the Spirit leading, your life will be different than all the people on the face of the earth. You know, I say this often, and I always go back to Moses. Moses knew the value of having the Spirit of the Lord lead him personally and lead the people that he was leading out of Egypt. He knew the importance of it. The pillar of cloud came down, which is a symbol of God's presence and His life, and it was leading them through the wilderness. That's what's happening right now. The Spirit of God inside of you is leading you through this journey called life, the wilderness that we're living in. This isn't our home. This isn't our home. This is just where we are for now, being witnesses to the world about God's love, about what Jesus has done for them, about salvation that only comes through Christ Jesus. And Moses said, The pillar of fire was God's presence, the angel of God, the very life of God, there leading them through the wilderness. It was a pillar of fire by night. It lit the way through the darkness. Do you see the symbolism? We are in a dark world. We're in a dark time. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And it is the Spirit of God and the Word of God uniting with that Spirit that gives us wisdom, that gives us revelation, that helps us, that warns us, that encourages us, that strengthens us, that stands by us through the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows, through death, through life, through all the situations of life. He said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan here. You are not going to be left here alone. I am going to implant myself inside of you and live in you. Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with me, then don't take me. Don't take me into this land that you've promised, God, because it is your presence that makes me different than all the people on the face of the earth. Is it not your presence? And is it not the Spirit of God that makes you different than all the people on the face of the earth? Yes. And in this time and in this season, when the foundations of everything that was familiar is being shaken, how much more should we be secure in our God because He lives in us through the Spirit? And how much of a witness we can be in this time of shaking when everything around us looks difficult to people and they're struggling and they're wondering, how am I going to get through this season? And how am I going to do this? And what is happening? And it looks as if things are just getting darker instead of brighter. You have the answer. It is Christ, the resurrected Christ, the blood of Jesus that takes away sins, that gives eternal life, and then the baptism of the Spirit, the presence of God in our individual lives is the light and the salt that people are looking for. People are looking for God. They're looking for God, and we want to have the answers. We want to have the answers, and those answers are found by the power of God, the life-giving Spirit that dwells in you. So when you run into people, you've got an answer. When people feel depressed or discouraged, you have an answer. When people need to hear the truth, you have the Word of God inside of you, living in you. And you can speak that word with power and authority and anointing, with love and compassion and mercy. And not only do you speak the word, you can demonstrate the word through the gifts that the Holy Spirit of God has given you. And then you have the character of God. I mean, it's just a package, people. It's a package deal. I mean, you're never going to go wrong. You've got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That means you have love and you have joy. You have peace in the midst of trouble. You don't have to be fearful like the rest of the world. Your relationship with God and your intimacy with God and His presence in your life is so valuable to a people who are in desperate need to hear from God and know Him. And so this is just a pinnacle part. When Paul gave the book of Romans, and most people think that the book of Romans is just about God's grace, but it's so much more than that. It talks about God's grace being poured out. It talks about the sins that had taken people into captive and the things that people do and have done in the past that have caused them to be separated from God. It talks about what Christ's role was in bringing that salvation and how that when sin abounded, the mercy of God abounded all the more. And then it gets into chapter 6 and 7, and then he says, don't keep sinning just to try to increase God's grace, but walk in the Holy Spirit. And that's where we are when we get to chapter 8. He's told them, you know, I don't want you to walk in sin. I don't want you to live in sin, but know that God has given you grace to bring you out of sin, out of darkness. And to be honest, Romans will take care of any hyper-grace teaching that there is. Because when you hit the chapters of 7, it says, What shall we say to all this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace and His favor and His mercy may multiply and overflow? Certainly not. Certainly not. How can we, who have died to sin, live in it any longer? So that will just put the coffin right on the hyper grace movement that keeps teaching people that they can live a sinful life and they will be saved. I'm telling you, it's a damnable heresy. And I just keep calling it out because it's wrong. We were not called out of darkness and out of Satan's power to continue living in Satan's power and in darkness. We were called out of darkness. We were filled with the resurrection power of the Spirit. We were given the mind of Christ. We have revelation of the Word, and we are to walk in the Spirit. And that's what he says when we get to chapter 8. He says, walk, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. And I think if you don't get this in the Amplified Version, you're not going to understand. Because in many versions, it just translates, there's no condemnation. But there's no condemnation for those who are walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, those who are following the leadings and the promptings of the Spirit. Because the enemy has a right to accuse us if we're living a sinful life. So those who walk in the Spirit are walking in the life of Jesus. And there's no condemnation. There's no charge that the enemy can bring against us because we're walking in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost never leads people to sin. It always leads people to righteousness. It always leads people to be conformed into the image and the likeness of God. It always leads people to walk in the light of the Scriptures and the revelation of the Word. And it causes people to be different. He said, you are my royal priesthood. You're my priesthood. Listen to the words that God uses in his word through Paul and through the apostles. You are my priesthood, Peter said. You are God's priest. Priests live a different life. You are his people. You're God's priest. He says, you are my epistles. An epistle read of all men. In other words, you are the Word of God in fleshly form. And then he goes on to say, you are my ambassadors. In other words, you're taking everything that God has done for you through Christ and the revelation of his word, and you're his ambassador. He's filled you with his Spirit, and now you're out there telling the world, be reconciled unto God. So you have a vital role in this time period. But if our lives are tainted because we habitually walk in sin, we do not know who we are. And we are not living the life of the Holy Spirit, but we are catering to the dictates of the flesh and the appetites of the flesh. And let me tell you, whoever you render yourself a servant to, that's whose servant you're going to become. And it will begin to control you're either going to have God control your thoughts. You're either going to be governed by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You're either going to be led by the Holy Spirit and follow his leadings and his promptings. Or you're going to be following the dictates of Satan and your impulses, your fleshly desires. And wherever your impulses will lead you, I mean, you just think about in your life when you walked out the impulses of your flesh, where did that lead you? Usually the impulses of the flesh will take you down some dirty, nasty roads. And they're never going to reflect God's character and his nature. You have a body, but you're not, and the Spirit of God lives in your body. And when Christ set you free, you were no longer under the slavery of neither Satan nor your flesh to follow impulses of the flesh. You have the life of Christ inside of you. And so this is probably one of the most powerful chapters about living in the Spirit. And this chapter here holds hands with Galatians chapter 5. So if you want to compare scripture upon scripture, you'll want to take this, Romans 8, and then you'll go to Galatians 5, where they hold hands and absolutely agree agree. They are flat out agreeing in both of these chapters about how to walk in the Holy Spirit and not gratify the lust of the flesh. And that's what we do. We take comparisons in the scriptures. We take this verse with that verse, and then we compare them, and we take this chapter with that chapter and this book with that book. And there are no discrepancies. They join hands and they say emphatically, those who walk in the Spirit live a different life. So that's my introduction to this walking in the Spirit. There's no condemnation for those who walk in the Holy Spirit. And they don't follow the dictates of the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being. I mean, these words are so powerful. We could break them down, but we'd be here for the next 6 months. Because this chapter is packed with how to live in the Spirit. So this law of our new being, it's our new being. The old is gone, the new is come, has freed me from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own son, this is the plan of salvation, in the guise of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh. He subdued it. He overcame and deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. Notice that is an acceptance of that, an acceptance of this finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and an acceptance that Jesus is our Savior, and an acceptance that he took away our sins, and now we're living a life. The same way that we came to God, arms raised up, I surrender all. That's the way we live our life every day, under his leadership, under his guidance, by accepting the sacrifice of his Son and the acceptance of the Holy Spirit's leading in our life, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Now, in the Amplified, it gives you an understanding of what that means. And it says, our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. So there are, listen to two very important words there, governed. To be governed means you come under the authority of God, his word, and his Spirit. You are now governed by his word. This is your book, and we follow this book. We are led by the Holy Spirit, by the words of Jesus. He said, it's not the hearers of the word that are justified, but the doers of the word. So we're governed by the standards and according to the Spirit. And he said, so our lives are controlled by the Holy Ghost. We're not following the dictates of the flesh. I used to listen to Joyce Myers all the time, and she would talk about, you know, how that the flesh should not be bossing you around all the time and telling you what to do all the time. And, she would talk. I remember one time in particular, she was talking about how there was a piece of lemon cake in the refrigerator, and all night long, all she kept thinking about, you know, her flesh was saying, get the lemon cake, go eat the lemon cake. More of the lemon cake, more cake. And, you know, she said it just got crazy, and she wanted to get up and go to the refrigerator. She heard the voice of the cake calling her, and her flesh was in agreement with this cake, and it was calling her to the refrigerator. You know, that's a simple illustration, but wow, is it packed with information, right? Because how are we governed by the Holy Spirit? He uses our mind. He uses the knowledge of the Word and the mind of the Spirit. And so that same fleshly mind can begin to tell us what to do. Our carnal nature uses the mind to tell us what to do. The Spirit works through the mind to tell us what to do. So here is, you know, she's got a decision to make in this place. Do I go and eat the cake that I really shouldn't be eating at midnight and follow my fleshly impulses? Or do I have power and control over my mind and then because I have power and control over my mind, my flesh has to come under the authority. It is governed by the Spirit. It is governed by the right principles because of God's word. It's so important that we listen to the leadings and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because if we don't, we're going to miss blessings for others. We're going to miss seeing God in our life. We're going to miss being a part of what God wants to do on the earth. And then if we follow the fleshly desires, there are opportunities within following the fleshly desires that the enemy will come in and lead us into sin. Let's take, for example, a marriage. Let's just say that, I am tempted in my life. There's somebody flirting with me at the job, and they're telling me all the wonderful things that maybe my husband, we've been married for so many years, he doesn't tell me anymore. And now I'm tempted. I am absolutely, starting to feel flattered, starting to feel beautiful, because of the things that this person is saying. And my flesh is stimulated by the words and the things that maybe I am wanting to hear. And then I begin to make a decision based off of the flesh, right? This is practical, people. This is practical application, putting it into practice. I have a decision. Am I going to open that door or shut it? Am I going to be led by my impulses, by the things that I like to hear or the things that I want to hear, and follow those leadings of the flesh that are telling me, look, he values you. Your husband hasn't told you you're beautiful in 6 months. I mean, you've gained a little weight. You look a little different than what you did when you got married, and all of those things. And you begin to allow your mind and your flesh to govern you, right? Or in that same time period, the Spirit of God is going to be coming to you going, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's deception. You're being tempted into sin. Just because it glitters doesn't mean it's gold, right? Just because it makes you feel all good inside doesn't mean that that's the direction you go. You see, the problem with the church right now is that we're no longer led by principles. We're led by feelings. We're no longer led by the absolutes of God's word. We're led by how that makes me feel. And everybody is going to have this place where the feelings and the flesh are going to collide with the word and the spirit. They're going to collide. You cannot live in this world and not have this collision takes place. It's going to happen. Jesus said, in this life you shall have tribulations. But cheer up, because I've overcome the world and deprived it from power. What did he mean when he said that? I've given you the ability to make right decisions, to hear the voice of God in your mind, to hear the word of God, to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and make a good decision. Make a good decision. And so when you encounter that place, because they're in opposition to one another, right? The flesh is in opposition to the Spirit and the Word of God. And the flesh can be strong, very strong. Remember what Jesus said to the apostles in the garden? The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. In other words, you have to be intentional about making the decision to follow the leadings of the Spirit. And you will also be intentional when you follow the leadings of the flesh. They're both coming through this portal called the mind. The mind is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires and set their minds. Everybody say, set their minds. They set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. but those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit. See, those are polar opposites. They set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. And now he's going to give you just this perfect example of what I've given you. He says, now the mind of the flesh is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. And it is death. It is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin. Do you know how many married couples regret having an affair? Do you know how many married couples got tempted in the flesh and didn't respond? And I'm talking about Christians, and I'm talking about people in the church. This is really a word for Christians, because people who are unbelievers will not understand this. This is discipleship for the church. This is for mature believers to grow and advance and move forward. There are so many marriages that are divorced now because when the temptation came, they gave in to their feelings instead of the principles of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. And they regret it. They regret it. You say, well, that's a strong word. It's because the church, it's happened in the church. It's happened in the house of the Lord. People with the Holy Spirit living inside of them followed the leadings of the flesh and the temptations of the flesh and the appeasement of the flesh and the feelings, all those feelings, and gave in. They didn't follow the warnings of the Spirit. This is dangerous. Red flag, red flag. You know, the banners are going off. You know, and all these things are happening and sirens are going off. Don't go there. Don't do that. Step away. Step back. Run for your life. That's why, I'm serious. That's why I think it was Paul that said, run from sexual sins. No other sins affect the body like sexual sins. Run from fornication. Run from the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Why? Because if he can get in the body, if you can surrender the body, if you can give in to sexual temptation, it's a very intimate and personal thing, and it's hard to detach from soul ties like that. Hard to detach yourself from soul ties. We're into some deep stuff this morning. It may seem easy, but it's not easy. I've been tempted in my lifetime. You've been tempted in your lifetime to not listen to the Spirit of God and to just give in to those desires of the flesh that just make your flesh feel so good. For Joyce Myers, it was a piece of pie. For somebody else, it may be their marriage. For somebody else, it may be a temptation with just anything. That would begin to control your life. Maybe it's spending more money that you don't have. Maybe it's doing something that you know is just going to bring your family into bondage. Maybe it's gossiping. Maybe that has become just, it's so interesting to talk about other people's lives and to get in everybody else's. And the Spirit's saying, don't do that. Being led by the Holy Spirit is so personal, and yet it's so powerful. It's a really completely surrendering of your life unto God and to be obedient to what God is telling you to do because He knows what's best for you. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful way to live because it sets you apart from all the people on the face of the earth. Because let me tell you, anybody can follow the flesh. Anybody can follow the tickles and the fancies of the flesh. It's easy. But it takes a crucified life and a relationship with Jesus to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. He says, if you allow the flesh to lead with sense and reasoning, what does he mean by sense and reasoning? I mean, you're just figuring it all out. It's in your mind. The battle's in your mind. Well, if I that pie ain't going to hurt me. I know I'm worried about a few pounds, but what the hey? You know, this will be great. It's going to taste so good. Sense and reason. See how you're reasoning it out? And, you know, it's the same thing. Well, if I just take these donuts to work, I know I'm talking about sweets a lot, aren't I? I don't know what the deal is with that. And if I just take this to this guy that sits next to me at work and just give him some donuts, you know, it isn't flirting. It's not flirtatious. We know what we're doing. This is Mama right here. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. To confront your flesh and to deal with it strongly. This is why Paul said this. I buffet my body. I say it all the time. I buffet my body. I treat it harshly. I make it come under discipline. Yes, lest having preached to others about Christ, about the Word of God, about the Holy Spirit, about the plan of salvation, that I, in the end, would be proved to be a counterfeit. He said, I'm not giving a place for my flesh to disobey God. I'm not giving it a place. Again, he says in Galatians, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I have been crucified with Christ. It's a death to self. Our way of life is very different. So this sense and reasoning, it's like when God tells you to do something. You know, one time I was in town. It was a really hot day. I was coming at this corner section right in our town. I've probably told you this before, but I can remember it so clearly that I heard the voice of the God. It was like 90-some degrees outside. There was a man standing on the corner. I heard the Holy Spirit say, give him your water. I had a bottle, an open bottle of water in my car. Give him your water. And immediately my mind began to reason. I don't know this guy. I'm not sure, you know, what is he going to think, right? We begin to reason ourselves out of obeying the Holy Spirit. And I'll never forget, because I reasoned myself right out of that. And I went on and instantly felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit for not being obedient. Following the leadings of the Holy Spirit take obedience. They take a willingness to submit to God and obey Him because we love Him and because He is asking us to do something that's going to produce something good eternally, something that strikes someone's heart, that there is kindness in the world, that there are people that really hear from the Lord, that there is beauty amidst all the things that are going on. That's why we keep telling you, do acts of kindness as the Spirit of God leads you. Why? They have to be led by the Spirit. You're not trying to earn brownie points to make it into the kingdom. That's not what it's about. It's about being available to God and emptied of yourself to a place, so much to a place, that God can speak to you and say, would you go over here and do this for this person? And by doing that, they will know that God loves them. And being obedient. There have been other times when I have obeyed the Lord in those areas, and He's told me what to do, and I obeyed Him. And when I did, it brought such joy, not only to the person, but to myself. I think I've been with Marcia many times when we've been up in Charleston and been around homeless people and people that are struggling, maybe out on the streets. She just doesn't even think twice about it. It's just really amazing. Like, there's a need? Okay, let's meet the need. I mean, you know, it's just amazing to watch her move. There's no reasoning. There's no reasoning. The reason's already there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You know, the word has already amplified these things. It's just a matter of being obedient and sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord and operating in his Spirit. So the mind of the flesh is this sense and reasoning, and it's without the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is nothing but carnally led. Carnally led. I say this all the time, and I'm going to say it again and again and again, because out there in the world, this is a real issue. I live in Milton, and in our town, there is a porn shop. There is a place of ill repute, if that's the way you say it. And I'll just see people impulsively moving in there, pulling in there, women, men, and I'm grieved. I'm grieved. Because I know that they are being led by spirits of darkness, by lust, by sensing and reasoning and feelings, and ultimately that brings death. I wonder how many are there, and their wife is at home. How many, or their husband? I wonder, and it's not just even, you know, the shop there. Which is everything evil and everything against what God has called in his word for us to live and have pure sexuality and have healthy sexual relationships. It's just a fantasy land of filth. And I think how many people give in to that? They're on the interstate and they see the sign. And the next thing you know, they're pulling right in. Why? Because they're led by feelings and flesh and demonic persuasion and lust. And they pull in. And in the meantime, they're destroying themselves. I wonder how many have received sexually transmitted diseases. I wonder how many are going to be trapped with something physically that they're going to have to deal with the rest of their life. I wonder how many have end up getting a divorce. The flesh is fickle. And when it moves in a certain way, and it has power and control without the Holy Spirit's leading, it's not going to lead you in the right way, because the flesh is the same flesh that Adam dealt with when he sinned against God. It's not going to lead you. The mind of the flesh is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit and leads to death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin. I don't care how good it feels at the moment. Ultimately, sin will destroy your life. When you're tempted to do drugs, when you're tempted to have an affair, when you're tempted to walk away from God in a moment of anger towards someone in the church, ultimately, when you leave and you never come back, or you decide to close your mind to the Gospels or the Scriptures or the Word of the Lord, it always leads to sorrow. Its intention is to take you away from God, and it compromises death. I mean, for anything, physical health. Just think about your physical health. How important is it to take care of your body? How important is it to follow the leadings of the Spirit in that area, in your mind, in your will, and in your emotions? So it's a grievous thing when we give in to our sinful nature. I've done it. I've done it in my lifetime. And it's always cost me. Always. Satan and flesh are evil taskmasters. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace. Soul peace. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, your emotions. Following the Holy Spirit gives you peace here in your mind. Peace in your will because you've surrendered it to God. Peace in your emotions because now they're submitted to the Spirit and to the Word of the Lord. And it's a peace that's that peace that passes all understanding. That's that peace that God gives us that silences the voices of the enemy and of the flesh. It's a peace that only God can give. The Holy Spirit is life. The Holy Spirit is life. It is God's life and peace, both now and forever. So not only does it affect us here, it affects us for eternity. Right? It was by the Holy Spirit that you were drawn unto God through salvation when you heard the preaching of the gospel. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Jesus said, no one can come to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. So think about your life and where you were and what you were doing when you heard the gospel message or saw it demonstrated in front of you. All of a sudden, you just felt the Spirit of the Lord. It was calling you. You felt this pull. You felt this draw. Guess who it was? The Spirit of God. The Spirit drawing you. That's why I'm praying that God will once again draw another generation to Him. There are things that are going to be taking place that God will allow and permit simply because it will bring people to a place of seeking Him and searching Him, and He will draw them. He said if he be lifted up by the preaching of the gospel, he would draw all men to him through the Spirit of God. I think even now, right now in our nation, all the things that's happened, people are still seeking worldly means instead of seeking God. I'm asking the Lord to keep drawing them, but their mind says, I just need a pill. I just need another fix. I just need to end my life. I just need to. And they're following the flesh and the spirits, the seducing spirits that are using their mind and their feelings to destroy them. That's why your role of being filled with the Holy Spirit is so imperative. Tammy was telling me about people that she's been ministering to, just one-on-one. We think we need a platform. We just need to be obedient and surrender to the Spirit of God and be a vessel that He can use wherever we go. She was talking about people that she was ministering to and helping and aiding. And that is how God uses us. This is just once a week or twice a week. Life is out there every day, waiting for people to encounter so that we can tell them about Jesus. I'm slowing this down intentionally because I felt like I went too fast last week, and I felt like sometimes we don't take the time to really think about this, because it does think in an intellectual mind. God uses your mind. It does take an intentional thinking of what you're doing. It takes a searching of your motives and why you're doing it. And I'm a big one on motives. I went to the Lord yesterday because there was something, and I realized that there was just an area I was out of order, and I caught myself in the way that I was doing it was manipulative. I didn't, and I saw it, right? You ever had those times when you just see it? And I said, oh, I need to correct this. The Holy Spirit revealed it to me. You better thank God that the Spirit of God is confronting you. You better thank God that He's dealing with you about the things that you need to be dealt with. You better thank God that every day He reminds you of His love and His sacrifice for your soul. And it's important to listen. If I didn't listen to His Spirit, I would have continued the way that I was going. But I instantly recognized it as a tactic of the flesh. Manipulation is a tactic of the carnal nature. It's manipulating. It's deceiving. It's a practice of witchcraft. The blinding of the leadings of the flesh and the wanting to blind somebody else and make it appear as if it's coming from a good place, when in reality, it's coming from a wrong place. If you do not examine the motivation of your heart and what you're doing, and listen to the Spirit and pay attention to what's going on inside of your soul, you'll just keep on going. Spiritual maturity comes by an examination of the internal life, a listening to the Holy Spirit, and a knowledge of the Word of God. And the more that you're in tune with what God is speaking because of your relationship with Him, you will cut things off quicker and deal with them quicker because you recognize that that's not of the Spirit, right? It's not of God. And then you'll walk in the Spirit and be more willing to obey Him the next time the promptings come. It takes an internal search. We're way too surface in the church. We're way too surface. You know, the worship service was good because this happened, but it wasn't good this time because that didn't happen. We're way too feeling-based. This is when Christ came to live in you and to take over, He meant to take over. He meant to govern your life and your decisions. You are more influential when the presence of the living God is having full reign and control in your life. You will make a bigger difference for the kingdom of God when you surrendered. And that's how you have to live every day, just like that. He says, but the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and its soul peace, both now and forever. And that is because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes is hostile towards God. Now, that's saying a lot. Your flesh is hostile towards God. A mind of the flesh is hostile towards God. It has carnal thoughts, carnal appetites, carnal desires, and its purpose is hostile towards God. In other words, it's in rebellion against God and His way of doing things, His way of living inside of you. And He says, for it does not submit itself to God's law. The carnal nature does not submit to God. It doesn't. It walks in its own reasonings and its own thoughts, and it's persuaded by demonic influence and the influence of the world. That's why right now, all the things that you're listening to on Facebook, on Twitter, on the news channels, those things are having an effect on your life. And what you're listening to and what you're reading is having a huge effect. So let's say you're listening to 3 hours of the news every day, but you're only picking up the Word of God and glancing through it. Oh, that's a good little piece right there. Oh, I'll just go on. You're getting more of the world's influence than you are God's influence, and you're submitting yourself to the world's thought processes instead of God's. And which one is going to have greater influence? You send your children to school 8 hours a day, and you're with them 3 hours in the evening. Who's going to have more influence? This is the way you have to look at things. You think your time with God isn't important? It is absolutely essential to you being able to hear the Spirit. What Abby spoke about when she was just up here kind of being cute was basically what she was saying was, I talk to God all the time. I mean, I'm always aware of His Spirit. I'm always aware of His presence. I need Him to teach me. I need Him to instruct me. When I do something wrong, I need Him to correct me. When I think a wrong thought, what she's saying is, I want you to have full control and lead my life, and I want to submit to you because I trust you more than I trust my flesh, more than I trust the news, more than I trust the media, more than I trust these other sources. I trust you, God, and your leadership in my life. And where you lead me, I will follow. But the flesh says, I'm going my way. And every time you deviate from the path of life and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you have just taken a detour into some of the most fleshly and carnal things that will cost you so much. It's going to cost you. There's no way that you can serve Satan and give in to the flesh and it not cost you. It's going to cost you your jobs. It's going to cost you strongholds and addictions. I am telling you right now, people are in bondage to sexual perversion. They're in bondage to drugs. They're in bondage to this world. They can't, you know, they listen to the news. It's on 8 hours a day. They listen to it all the time. It's having a huge impact in their life, but they never pick up this book, and this book leads to life. What did it say? Life now and life eternally. It'll shake the demons right off of you. It'll confront them and say, you're no longer having power over me. And I got to get to this part about that same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, because we're dealing with this as yes, we're facing it from a mental standpoint. The spirit works through the mind. Satan works through the mind. Influences work through your intellect. It's coming through the mind. When you feel something constantly tempting you into something that is not good, right? Let's say, what is something that's not good in your life that the enemy is always tempting you to go back to? Food. Let's say food. That's become your source. That's become a comfort place for you. And the enemy is always saying, just eat more. This will help you. This will comfort you. But in the long run, there's diabetes, right? An overindulgence is dangerous for your body. You are the temple of God. God dwells in you. And he says, take care of your temple. Now, we're all different sizes. We're all different shapes. And there's medical issues in some people's life. But to do the best you can to take care of this temple means you're going to be around here longer, and you're going to have more of an influence for God and for his kingdom if you take care of what you have. Yes, we're going to get older. I have to wear glasses now. Don't like it. I have to, yes, we're going to get older. That's true. We still have impact until we take our last breath, because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. And so what we are trying to say is the discipline of the Holy Spirit is beneficial, because it's preventing you from doing something that in the long run may cost you your life. Right? I remember one day being up here and I felt the Holy Spirit just take over and say, there is somebody and you're listening online, and if you don't stop looking at pornography, you're going to lose your wife and your family and your children. I don't know, maybe some of y'all remember when that happened. I am telling you, it was so strong, I felt like the Hulk. I just felt like the presence of God was on me so mightily. And I pray to God that whoever that was for that day, and maybe it was for more than one person, they listen, because right now the church is absolutely inundated with sexual perversion. And then we wonder why the Spirit of the Lord isn't moving through us in a greater way and we're having more impact. You say, well, why do you address that all the time? Because it's an issue and we don't want to confront it. No, we don't want to lose no members, because that might take away from our money. Keep your money and get free. Don't ever come here and throw something. In fact, Jesus said himself, don't put money in the offering. And if you have an offense against your brother, go and make peace with your brother, and then you can come back and give your offering. Because you're trying to earn favor with God through giving in the offering, but you're going to, how your favor is brought forth and how the will of God is pleased is when you obey God. When you obey God, he's pleased. And we're going to find that. Just look at the next verses. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, who are catering to the appetites and the impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to him. I mean, come on, who's preaching that? We don't want to hear that. There it is. It's in the Word. Let's deal with it. The flesh doesn't please God. When you came to get delivered from sin and carnality, you surrendered and gave him everything. Why are you now going back to the things that destroyed you and leaving the fountain of life? He said, that's a life of the flesh is not pleasing. A life of the flesh that is catering to the appetites of sensual and fleshly nature cannot satisfy God or be acceptable to him. They came out of Egypt with lots of strongholds. Many gods they worshiped in Egypt. Even though they were called by God's people, they were called His people. He brought them out of Egypt and through the wilderness. And they walked in the wilderness. And they lived in the wilderness. And they were constantly wanting to go back to their sinful nature. I want to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to bondage. I want leeks and onions. And I want all of this, you know, stuff that's back there. And they were displeasing to the Lord. And their bodies were strewn through that wilderness. And there were only Caleb and Joshua that, think about that, that made it to the promised land. I mean, just think about that. How many made it to the ark? How many made it to the promised land? How many made it out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Because a life lived by the Holy Spirit is a different life. And it takes a daily cross and a daily examination, and it takes a searching of the motives and why you're doing what you're doing. And are you trying to impress men, or are you trying to please God? And are you being honest with God, or are you going into that prayer chamber hiding? And this is for a mature people. This ain't kindergarten teaching. This is surrendering your life every day to God, letting Him have His way in your life, and you being a conduit of Christ on the earth. And let me tell you, that takes a dying to yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Lose sight of yourself and your own interest. He said, if you walk in the flesh, you cannot please or satisfy or be acceptable to Him. But I love this, and Tammy preached this, I think, last week. But God, look at this next line. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. If, everybody say if, the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs, listen to these words amplified, directs, controls you. Directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. Wow. Why don't we teach the truth? Because we're leading a lot of people astray. The Bible's very clear that the new birth experience changes you. And though some things will be instantly changed, and some things will be changed over seasons of time, you should never be habitually sinning. Never. You should always be growing in your relationship with God, growing in your spiritual maturity, growing. Your wants should change, right? Your wants should change. We used to want to sin. Now we don't. We want to live a holy life. We want to walk in the Spirit. And it's not some taskmaster, you know, over us beating us, and like it was in Egypt, you know, when they were under the bondage of the Pharaoh there. It's not that. It's a surrendering and an accepting of the leadership of God in your life. It's an honest and a humble heart coming to God saying, I want you to lead. The enemy, Satan, symbolic for how the Pharaoh treated his people, was abusive. A taskmaster, absolute cruel and abuse. That's Satan. That's what he does when he brings you into sin and he traps you in all of these different devices and sinfulness. He kills you. He means to kill you. You say, well, what are some of the things that he kills you with? Let me go to Galatians real quick. I'm going to go over these. a little bit. He says, but if you are guided and led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. In other words, there's no conflict with the law because you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, the doings and the practices of the flesh are clear and obvious. Okay, so they're clear and they're obvious. So it's not like these things are hidden. It's not like you can't see or you don't know. You know, we have a conscience. He said they are immorality, impurity, indecency, adultery, worshiping other gods, being impure, being indecent, watching things that you shouldn't watch and being willing to sit there. Listen, you don't even have to go to a porn shop anymore to look at filth. It's right there on your television. You just flip the dial. The stuff is nasty. I don't watch TV. I do not watch it. It's absolutely opening portals to demonic persuasion. And Christians will sit there and watch that filth and allow it to penetrate their mind, but they won't pick up their Bible and they won't, or they won't even allow, I mean, my gosh, get in your car and turn on Romans and just listen to it through your Bluetooth. There's so many ways that you can get the scriptures, and all of it is effective and all of it's important. But we sit there and we watch indecent things and we fill our minds with them and then we wonder why our flesh is acting out, right? Indecency, evil stuff, all kinds of things, sorcery and witchcraft, right there on television, teaching people how to follow Satan. I mean, I remember when these books were popular. What were those books that came out that they were had black magic in them, witchcraft? What was their name? Harry Potter books. I mean, the biggest controversy in the church was, should we read Harry Potter books or not? And I'm thinking, what? Are you serious? That this would even be a topic of conversation? You won't teach your children the Word of God and sit there with them and even go through the Word with them and teach them. But you'll let them have books and go off into their room that teach witchcraft. And the saints are quiet because it's the truth. I'm amazed at the things that we've allowed. Now, the doings and the practices of the flesh are very obvious. And listen, not just major, what we consider, we say the minor sins and the major sins, not just witchcraft. And by the way, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. If we want to get down into the nitty-gritty, the practices of the flesh are clear. Adultery, deifying anything other than God. How about strife? How about anger? How about jealousy? How about an ill temper? How about selfishness? I don't know about you, but I deal with the temptations of these things on a daily basis. The flesh doesn't stop wanting its way. We just have to remind the flesh that it's been crucified, that it's not going to get its way. Sex with peculiar opinions and heresies, these heresies that are filling the church, that teach false doctrine. Listen, there's some stuff out there right now that you better know your word. He said drunkenness, evil, carousing, and the like. And I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh my gosh. And then we just tell people, live how you want. Jesus died for you once and you never have to repent. You never have to worry about anything else. Just live how you are. I mean, there's no need for you to change. Heresy. Run for your life. And don't sit under anybody's teaching who teaches that garbage. Jesus did not suffer the wrath of God and go through such torment and suffering for people to remain in sin any longer. And that is the truth. He set people free. He is a God who sets people free. He is a God of freedom, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So you have this very strong words. These are strong words, but yet they're hopeful words because God did not leave us here without the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Spirit so we could live a different life. Hence, verse 10, and then I'm going to close. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that He imputes to you. And if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore your life, your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies, through the Spirit who dwells in you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If the same Spirit that rose Jesus up out of the grave, come on, that's the presence of God. That's the life of God. That's God Himself that raised and brought back to life, the Holy Spirit of God, raised Jesus from the dead. He, if He lives in you, He will quicken your mortal body. Why? What does that mean? Oh, bring it to life. Calls you to be able to resist the evil, to love the good, to walk a different life, to confront your carnal nature and to silence it, to confess your sins when you make a mistake quickly, and get it over with and get it behind you and allow the Spirit to change you, to walk in newness of life, to give you joy in the midst of sorrow, to give you hope in the midst of hopelessness, to raise you up out of the carnal way of thinking into the eternal ways of God. That is what He has done for you. Amen. The Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, He lives in you. Let us listen to the Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to close. Father, thank You so much that You didn't leave us here alone. Praise God that when we came running to You at an altar and we bowed our life before You, that You cleansed away our past, that You washed away our sins, that You took away our thoughts and our stubbornness and our rebellion against God, and You silenced it forever with a cross. And then You rose us to a new way of life. Living the Christian life is a life like no other. It is Christ living in us. It is a powerful life. A life so different from the world that it repels some, and then it causes others to stand in wonder. Even the angels are amazed that God could be so vast and amazing and wonder that He could deposit His life inside of His children. They stand in awe of the mystery of the salvation that came through Christ and the dispensing of the Spirit of God and the fruit and the gifts of His character in us. It's an awe and a wonder. It's glorious. There's nothing like it. No other God has done that. Only You, God. Only You could deposit Yourself in us and give us life. I pray, Father, for those who are deceived. Maybe they're walking in the door of the church, but they're just doing it through religious formality. And they are not living a life that is different from the face of the earth, from other people, because they're not walking in the Spirit. Maybe they haven't even been baptized in the Spirit or allowed themselves to be permeated and saturated with the life-giving Spirit of God. I pray right now, Father, that if that's them, that they would confront this in their life. Because, Lord, as we have read, to habitually live in sin and to walk in the flesh is really teetering on some dangerous eternal consequences. The life of the believer is one like no other. It is a changed life. It is a glorified life. It is a life where the Spirit of God leads, where it confronts fleshly behavior and sin by the Word of God and by the power of the Spirit. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're listening to this. You're like, I just flipped it on this station and here's this woman and she's carrying on. And I pray right now that if that's you, well, at least I got your attention. The Lord is calling you with His Spirit to come to Him. The world will continue to shake. Things will continue to change. And instead of running to the world, you need to run to God, because only through Christ and only through the confession of your sins unto God, through Jesus' blood and the acceptance of Him as your Savior and the forgiveness of your sins, through repentance, will you ever have eternal life. And He wants you to come. He's begging you to come. He wants you to be a part of this new way of life. He wants to fill you with His Spirit and for you to be transformed and changed. He wants you to have eternal life. Come. Come to the Lord today and be saved. Leave that waywardness. Leave that fleshly way of life and live. Truly live. If that's you today, I pray that you would accept Him as your Savior. For those that have been straddling the fence of whether you're going to obey the flesh or the Spirit, may today be the day of change. You've been confronted with the Word of God today. You have no other option but to either accept it or reject it. And I pray that you will accept it. Let us walk in the Spirit. For those who live in the Spirit are the sons and the daughters of God. In Jesus' name, and amen.